Hello and welcome to the Berkshire Eagle Podcast, conversations about news, politics, and public affairs in the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Mark Mills. Thanks for spending some time with us. The Berkshire Eagle Podcast is brought to you by the Berkshire Eagle. Think global, read local. And subscribe to the Eagle and get the Berkshire's best journalism delivered to your door every morning. Today we're talking about the silver tsunami, the growing wave of aging residents of Berkshire County. If it already seems like an older county, it is, but it will become even more so in the years just ahead. What does that mean? What are the opportunities in that trend? And what are the big challenges that communities up and down the Berkshire County area need to address? Joining me today for the discussion is Peg McDonough, a staff planner at the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission and regional coordinator of Age-Friendly Berkshires. We'll hear all about that. And reporter Larry Parnas joins us. He is the investigations editor at the Berkshire Eagle and has written a couple of stories recently on the region's silver tsunami. So welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Mark.
Great to have you here. And Peg, let's begin really to kind of look at, when we talk about a silver tsunami, what are some of the demographic trends we're talking about?
Well, basically, the census data has shown us that the population in Berkshire County is aging, meaning that the residents here have, or those who have moved here to retire by 2030, 12 years from now, will be 60% or more of folks will be over the age of 50. The other factor that matters in that calculation is that the overall population of Berkshire County is actually going down, so that the senior population, the older adult population, is going to make up the majority in a very short amount of time.
So just in terms of the shifts that are going on, are we seeing an exodus of younger people and additional influx of older people? Are those both happening?
I think they are both happening. I think we certainly have college-aged students here that are either leaving the area after they get out of school, or not developing as many businesses as they might locally due to certain factors. But I think that's certainly one side of the coin.
And Larry Parnas, you did some reporting on this, and there's some studies that have been coming out and some meetings that have been held lately. What's your take on this situation and things you've learned in your reporting in recent weeks?
I think it's really important to be addressing this. Peg, what you were just saying and Mark about the out-migration of young people is its own kind of distinct issue. It has an overall impact on what the population numbers are going to be down the road. But there's there are separate efforts underway to try to make the area more attractive and sustainable for young people. I think in the population forecasts that Peg, you're just mentioning, Williamstown and North Adams are sort of on the outside of that because there are young people studying at Williams College and MCLA, but they're not staying here. So there's separate efforts to do that. Why shouldn't planners and policymakers try to look ahead and work to make life better for everyone? And I think that's part of the age-friendly movement in general. And they say specifically it's not just for older people.
That's true. It's all age-friendly, mm-hmm, really.
Mm-hmm. So that's really important. But there are a lot of challenges. And, you know, in the meeting, the kickoff meeting the other day, a lot of people there and a really deep bench, lots of groups that are involved in this, councils on aging and private care organizations and just activists, you know, senior power types. It's great, but there are a lot of challenges, and they're economic. There's bias about fairness in work for older people. And I know, Peg, you're not blind to any of that.
No, certainly not. What I think we latched on to when we were looking at the World Health Organization's model for age-friendly communities was the depth and the thoroughness with which they look at any society, including—so the methodology that we got from them looked at eight areas of livability across the county, and they include both the built environment and the social or the non-built environment and the networks that we have in place to support people as we live and age here. So we started out looking at the older population. We started with those closest to the problem, those that were going to be retired or already retired and living here and finding that our, again, our built environment or our social environment wasn't exactly perfect for supporting people as they age. So we started there, but then certainly we backed out of it, realizing that any improvements or new initiatives that we might suggest are really going to impact everybody at any age if they live here.
I did notice when I looked over the report that came out from, I believe, your organization in November of last year,
mm-hmm.
and it's a quite a lengthy report, and we should, in a moment, let people know how they can see that. But it also looked similar in some ways to other economic reports I've looked at from, say, One Berkshire, where they're looking at how to try to build the economy,
right.
and similar themes come up. You know, better transportation, work on the economy, getting entrepreneurial things here, new economic opportunities. And as you point out, Larry, we need to do this for young people to stop that exodus of younger people leaving. But we could, the same kinds of policies, maybe with some modifications, but the same kind of policies could also support the older population. And this goes back to this notion that a lot of what's being discussed is going to be good for everybody.
Exactly.
And not just people that are aging. All right, let's not do a whole list of the eight areas immediately, but let's touch on a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe give us a highlight or two of what some of these eight areas, and what do you call them? How do you refer to them?
Eight areas of livability.
Livability. Well, give us some livability.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, transportation is one of the ones that are probably in the forefront in this region. Housing, communication, how we get information out about what's going on or what resources are available to people. Outdoor spaces and buildings, our public buildings as well as our private buildings. How easy is it to get around, to get in and out of places? Civic engagement, how activist is our communities? Are people showing up for town meeting? Are they advocating for themselves? Are they, you know, paying attention to what's going on at local government level? Because we don't have a regional government, really. It's all about each of our cities and towns and our citizens becoming, you know, advocating for themselves to make things happen in their own towns and showing up for those meetings. We also looked at social inclusion kind of generally. Are all of our citizens feeling like they're part of the community? Are there groups that are isolated? Are there ways, better ways that we can reach out to those folks? Because a big part of being able to age in place is to remain engaged with others. It's a health risk, actually, to be isolated as one ages.
What do you see now as some of the problems older people face? I mean, day to day in their lives now, as you have this agenda to try to make things better, what are people dealing with now that makes it so much harder for them?
Well, as you mentioned, it's kind of a combination of things. There's the challenge of getting around. I mean, as long as you're able to drive in Berkshire County, you are okay. But
if you can afford the gasoline prices that are going up.
That's mm-hmm. right. But if there is a time when you can't drive, or even on a temporary basis that your car is in the shop, it's pretty hard to jump on a bus and get from one end of the county to another on a timely basis for anything you might need to do. Our bus system is limited. We don't really have trains. We don't have any other mode other than taxis.
Yeah.
And a taxi ride, say, from Williamstown to Pittsfield one way will cost you about $25, $27. So when you start thinking of those alternatives, mm-hmm. it's pretty expensive.
You know, just to stay on transportation for a minute, in the town of Savoy, they have an 18-year-old van that is, I drove by it today. It sits on the side of the town hall. It's not being used. They lost their van driver. They haven't been able to recruit a new one. And town by town, because there's so many small communities in Berkshire County, this has fallen to the councils on aging to try to have a way for elders who are not driving to get to doctor's appointments, the grocery store. So what has been happening is there's just been this town-by-town, isolated, fragmentary, partial remedies to these kinds of things. And right now, that van is just not on the road.
Right.
Savoy's trying to work out an arrangement with the Adams Council on Aging. You're probably aware of that. You know, I think just this plays out across the board. Every town has its own you know, they've hit the wall on some aspect of this and all the different categories you mentioned. And so as ambitious as this all sounds, as you talk about it, Peg, and it is really ambitious, it seems like to me it's trying to build a sort of a common approach to this that that is still going to be enormously challenging.
Absolutely. And I am aware of the issue that you brought up about Savoy. And one of the ways we're trying to overcome that is to share a van among these smaller towns that, for the reason, not only for medical appointments, but certainly that's important, but for everyday things. You want to go and get a haircut. You want to go to the grocery store. There is no grocery store in Savoy. You have to come down to, you know, North Adams or wherever, Pittsfield. So we've done a pilot study about van sharing, but certainly there's other remedies other than a van, you know, even creating an Uber that's specifically for the just people getting around on everyday type of errands.
Yeah.
You're right. We have to kind of think creatively, but we also have to think in a connected way. You know, we have 32 municipalities. We don't have a county government. We really need to kind of push people in a way to think differently and to say, hey, let's call up the five adjacent towns and put our heads together and find a local solution. And we're going to kind of replicate that methodology across the county.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of heads were nodding as you guys were going over this the other day at that big kickoff breakfast. On the other end of the state, however, just on the transportation issue, there are more impediments. Just this week, Representative John Barrett and Smitty Pignatelli tried to add roughly $8 million to regional transit authority funding. And I think they got about a quarter of that, $2 million, which would have to be shared statewide to try to head off service cuts and fare increases for the Berkshires, which has so many road miles and no adequate public transportation. And even to get that, they have to agree to file a financial remedy plan because they have to prove that they're worth the money. So, you know, there's one thing to come up with good approaches to this, and then it's a whole nother fight to have the political, you know, clout to pull it off.
You're right. Absolutely. And that issue is maddening, really, for everybody. As you know, there's advocacy work going on around, you know, knocking on the doors in Boston. But barring that, what if that doesn't change immediately? What do we do? So we're kind of focusing on the what do we do here. You know, there are people among us that are on the advocacy level, but most of us are just the day-to-day, okay, so how are we going to fix this problem? And I think a lot of it is going to be that way. You know, we can talk about transportation literally all day, but I think certainly it's up to we have to take control of this situation.
All right, well, another area listed here is housing. And we do hear a lot of complaints about the high cost of housing, particularly in the south part of the county. And also, as people age, they need physical space that may accommodate whatever limitations they are facing. And that may mean retrofitting buildings or having new buildings constructed with an older population in mind. So what are some of the priorities in the housing area?
You bring up a good point. If the people in Savoy and Florida and the very rural towns find that they really can no longer live on their own, where do they move? Like, what are our options? So the big part of the housing livability area is looking at doing an actual inventory of what we've got. We know, of course, that as you mentioned, some of our living quarters are not accessible for people whose physical abilities are changing with aging. So we do want to encourage constructing new buildings that will accommodate those changes, but also helping people to adapt their homes themselves to make them more age-friendly. So we have some resources on our website, a workbook that people can use to self-assess their home. That's a place to start. But then also we are working with the cities and towns, the planning boards and different local government departments to look at what residents want, what type of housing they want, and where do they want it. So part of Berkshire Regional Planning Commission's work in the county is to help cities and towns decide what's going to work for them. Right now, we're looking at also the zoning that will support as of right building of different types of houses that will accommodate aging in place.
Another one of the key areas, of course, is employment. And many older people want to remain in the workforce, even if it's not on a full-time basis. Maybe they need to for financial reasons, or they want to for the satisfactions and social connections that people make at work. And of course, going back to what we said earlier, for young people, this is also another key area to be able to provide some kind of employment. And I wondered what kind of steps are being recommended in the area of jobs for older people. And of course, this also brings up the issue of discrimination with older workers. So what's going on there?
It's true. We do have a work group forming around that issue because, as you said, some people retire and find out they're bored to tears, so they actually want to go back to work. There are those that also just want to step back a bit and maybe not work full time. There is kind of two parts to that. Employment livability area. One is kind of working with employers to see if they're willing to hire older workers or retain older workers. Very often you find that older workers are the ones that always show up. They're very loyal. They bring a lot to the table that I think employers may not necessarily be aware of. But on the other hand, their ageism still does exist. And that is a challenge to kind of overcome, but I think if we can find different kind of put all the job websites together and kind of have a employment hub for all workers, but particularly for older workers, we're hoping that we can generate kind of a hiring pool for Berkshire County, and that is something that I think we're going to get some traction on because there's so many people who have mentioned that they'd love to keep working, but, you know, they're finding that it's hard, you know, to stand on your feet all day.
Do you mean be able to facilitate some kind of brokering of an available workforce of ready-to-go older people?
Well, I mean, there maybe. We're not really sure how that's going to look exactly, but we've had enough in our outreach conversations about this issue, we've had enough people say, like, where do you even start looking? You know, maybe the traditional job websites and so on are not senior friendly. So maybe we need to find a different way in, a different channel for engaging with employers.
I kind of like this idea of also maybe having a database that people can register on and put their information on to the extent they want to. About their availability, sort of like a dating site.
Yeah.
You know, here I am. I'm not looking for a young sweetheart in Great Barrington, but I am looking for work. Here are my skills. Here's my experience. Like to work 20 hours a week. And people looking for, as you say, these reliable older workers then can maybe the employers can reach out and find people because a lot of employers are not having an easy time finding workers right now.
I think that's true.
In some areas. And also, though, I think this area of the kind of work we have in the Berkshires, you know, there's a lot of physical labor that's done. A lot of people make their living on the land and on the buildings, the kind of the physical structure. And those are some of the better jobs in the county. But then, of course, the visitor economy. And for older workers, the stresses and strains of a long day on your feet in retail or as a chambermaid or as a cook's assistant or a waiter, something like that, those could be very difficult jobs. So I'm kind of wondering about the nature of the work, the kinds of jobs that might be available, or do we need to try to find some new things? This is where this high-speed internet comes into play, I think, where people can do a lot of great work online. And plenty of older people are quite capable in this area, unlike what the stereotypes might be that, I don't know, that's a computer. No, plenty of people who've been operating with those things in their careers. And that's the kind of work that people can do, writing and analysis and whatnot from a remote site, maybe for an employer in Boston or New York. I mean, there's opportunities there. And Larry, you've written a lot about the high-speed internet situation in the county. Mm-hmm. I think there's a connection between all of that work in the high-speed area and things that Peg's talking about here about, you know, employment.
Mark, as a side point to that, many of the broadband committees that are dotted around all the unserved towns for high speed are made up of people 65 and over who are retired scientists, lawyers. It's really kind of the best and the brightest tech people who are somewhat often self-taught on this issue, but they're committed to making a change. They have the time. So in a way, that makes me think about there's a real leadership potential for older people, and actually they are. I think they are already have stepped up to be a disproportionately large portion of who's taking town positions and leadership in general. But I, Matt, to throw that to you, Peg. Rather than being seen as clients of better social services or people who are out to be helped, I think there's an agency, as is a popular word these days, for older people to really be out front on this.
Oh, I totally agree. We find, of course, when we're going out to community meetings that the board members, the select boards, the conservation commissions, all of them are older adults. Mm-hmm. But many of them also wear multiple hats. The selectmen might also be on three other committees. So I think there is still a dearth of good help in communities, and I think there could be more outreach specifically to get more help at the local level, and that's actually in here. Mm. We're hoping really that the Age Friendly Berkshire's website is going to be a hub for people to eventually, when it's all built out, for people to use as the aging resource in the county, not just for personal services, but for things like we've spoken about, employment, what's going on at the local level, where is help needed, what nonprofits need help, what are some of the community groups that are doing good work that could use not only volunteer help, but certainly employment, or would offer employment to older adults. So I think that's all in there.
Listeners should know that when Peg said it's in here, and she punched her finger on her long table of contents on the second page of this report, there is a lot in here. So as coordinator, regional coordinator for this, there's a lot of little pieces to this. How do you know coming in any one day what you're going to be battling that day and that week? How do you make that work?
Well, that's a good question. Somewhat, I'm still sorting that out. But you should know that there are, because this is a very big action plan and it does contain a lot, it has really been created with the help of a lot of people, a lot of organizations across the county, many local governments, if not all of them in some way, have either know about it or have, contributed something. Businesses, individuals, a lot of activist individuals have come out and helped. I think that, there is a lot here. It's going to take a number of years, but you've got to think of it as multiple centers of activity, everybody kind of doing their own thing, but with an age-friendly lens, maybe making a commitment. And actually, it does require somewhat of an overt commitment to integrate some of what we're recommending into your everyday activity. So we actually are asking both municipalities as well as organizations and businesses to actually sign a resolution saying, yes, we will join you and we will integrate these recommendations into our mission.
Mm-hmm. You have a list in here or a list of things that people can do. So if folks are listening and think, gee, this sounds like it's worth some of my time, I recall one of them is implore your select board to support and sign on to the project.
Right.
So okay, what would you say are some of the things that people who might want to put their shoulder to this, what can they do?
One of the first things would be to contact us and certainly identify yourself and let us know where you live, but also give us an indication of what things you like to work on or what interests you about this action plan. That would be a first place to start. We're looking for people to be community ambassadors. That is, the ones who will either form an age-friendly committee in their own town.
Do they get to have a sash with the name on it?
I can work on a sash.
Top hats all around.
But also to help us figure out, in their specific town, what might be the most appealing, mm-hmm. both to the leadership and to the residents. So that's a good place to start. We have county-wide working committees working on some of the bigger issues like transportation and housing. So, there's room on those committees for people to join in. There is room for talking to your select board and saying, hey, we should be doing this. You know, this might be a good thing for us. So there's lots of ways to get involved, and I would encourage people to email me at hfriendlyberkshires@gmail.com or through our webpage, hfriendlyberkshires.com. There's a way you can communicate, and I will answer.
Is that where the report is also available?
Yeah, you can download this report as well as your homeowner's workbook for assessing your home. You can get the survey results of some of the outreach we did over the years in developing this plan. So there's a lot there for folks.
You know, the area, and it always comes down to this, I suppose, is funding that I was wondering about here, because a certain amount of this can be done by just people doing things and changing policies and changing attitudes, and there's sort of a human component, let's take care of this kind of thing. And then a certain amount of it obviously deals with financing. And I feel like almost every city and town seems to be struggling with budget issues. I mean, Stockbridge, it's always a concern, and whether, you know, raising taxes is very difficult for a lot of older people who can't afford those increases. That part of it, you know, struck me. How are we going to fund these things? And then I also got to thinking when I saw the data you folks have developed on the demographics and the aging of the population, percentages of people in older brackets, that we're really kind of in a vanguard situation here. We have an unusually older population in our county versus most counties. On the other hand, all of those counties, many of them much bigger than ours, are going to have a lot more human beings in this age category increasing as well for them. So some of the policies and things you're trying to accomplish here and on our small piece of the map could well be models for other places that are going to be dealing with these things on even a bigger scale as time goes on. I think, Larry, one of your articles said about 10,000 boomers a day are turning 65, and this is going to go on for quite some time. I think the youngest boomers this year are turning 54. So there's still a long way to go on that big boomer population of people that are going to be going into their 60s. So maybe you can address some of the funding issues of whether there are some avenues to approach private sector things, foundation, grants, whatever. I don't know. How are you guys approaching that?
Good question. Age Friendly Berkshires received two-year grants from the Tufts Health Plan Foundation, who is not only supported the planning of this, the creation of this action plan, but also has given us additional funding for 2 years of implementation. What should help us is that last year, the Governor Baker, announced that Massachusetts is to become the second declared age-friendly state in the United States. And that raises the profile of age-friendliness to the state level so that all the agencies who make grant funds available to localities will have this on their radar. So that we feel very strongly that certainly the wind is blowing in our direction. And you're right when you say that Berkshire County is on the vanguard of becoming age-friendly. We are the first county, certainly in the state, to declare that the whole county is going to focus on becoming age-friendly. But also in the country, we're one of the few counties that have undertaken this. And we've done it without having a county government, which is not the usual case. So we are on the vanguard, and we're thrilled about that. And we feel like gives us a little bit of leverage when we, you know, with the help of the media, like the Berkshire Eagle, who is helping us keep this at the forefront, let people know about it. And also that will help us, we think, in Boston. But the governor having put this in the community compacts, which means that cities and towns are able to select age-friendly projects and receive funding based on their identified priorities should help us get some, shake loose some money.
And aside from the big things like housing investment and transportation, small amounts can do a lot town by town on this.
I think so. And I think it also does give us some impetus to kind of make us work together better than maybe we have in the past. We all understand the kind of the New England identity and independence, but honestly, is it serving us well if we can't take a bus from one town to another without some difficulty? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really, I think we have to start thinking a little differently than we've been. And I really feel like one of my jobs is to be kind of the broker or to encourage those conversations to take place. And that's really where I feel like I can best focus my efforts.
And Larry, this is another one of the many areas you cover. I always am amazed at the breadth of the stories that
thanks,
I see
your
and great stories, top stories in the region. So where do you think this one's headed? As you follow this story, what direction do you think you'll want to go, or where do you think the story's headed?
In terms of coverage of it?
Yeah. What would be kind of another place to engage with this whole topic?
Well, I think it would still be useful to the community to have a better sense of how it's going to unfold, how the success will be measured, and as you just are asking, and funded down the road. It's a little too dispersed to have like a scorecard, I think. Although, again, I think it is important to be able to report back on gains, because I think those propel further gains.
Yes.
If you can show what people are doing. My colleague Jen Smith, who's the community editor here, she's also very interested in this and plans some stories. I thought one of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to find someone and use one person's experience as a illustration of what the real dilemma is here and why, you know, it sounds a little bit like something, you know, kindly people cook up the idea of something being friendly, you know. It's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood of aging. And there's been a tradition of these things. There was an earlier or maybe associated movement about dementia-friendly communities, and they've tried to educate people about how to not be hostile with someone who's confused and lost. You know, even with the deinstitutionalization of state hospitals, how to be supportive and friendly toward people who have mental health issues. You know, it's kind of just like the human instinct. Shouldn't that be how people treat one another? To your question, Mark, I think one of the things I'd like to do is help people understand from a particular person's point of view what the needs are, what the realities are. Because I come across in my reporting people who have had terrible things happen to them, 65 and over, and you know, I think action plans are their own kind of contribution. I think what the newspaper can do is really bring it home to people about what's at stake.
Yeah. In many areas, somebody could have a health issue, a job issue, a housing issue, a transportation issue. I mean, you could illustrate this. Hopefully
yeah.
The same person doesn't face all of them. But, I mean, I'm just saying you get into different people. And any successes there are, any small success, you know, I always am a big believer in let's identify the ingredients of success and then replicate them far and wide, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the paper certainly can play a role mm-hmm. in then that.
And, no, I think it's just to that point, I think it's as important to show solutions as problems. And I think this is a solution in the making. And I think it's really commendable. You know, my hat's off to you guys and important.
Thank you. Many small changes that will make people more comfortable. If we treat aging as normal and not some disease or some awful calamity to happen, but aging is part of living. And
if
really,
it's a disease, we're all going to get it.
That's right. Well, God willing. I mean, really, when you think about it, one of the goals of living is to live to be old.
Yes.
So we want to help people do that more comfortably.
Yeah, I think just to people of all ages who might be listening to this, sometimes you can get impatient with an older person, and people should bear in mind that really we're all headed there someday if we're lucky enough to get there.
That's
and
right.
That we're all going to need some help at some point. And even though it may be some years off for you individually, it's that day is coming if you take care of yourself and you arrive at that point. All right, the Silver Tsunami, a lot to talk about. We could go on for a lot longer, and you can certainly read more about it. We'll give, again, the name of the website connection where you can see the report and contact Peg with any suggestions or questions. And I want to thank my guest, Peg McDonough, a staff planner at the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission and the regional coordinator of Age Friendly Berkshires. Peg, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Mark.
And Larry Parnas, investigations editor at the Berkshire Eagle, who's been covering the Silver Tsunami, and always a great guest here on the podcast. Larry, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for your questions, Mark. It's great.
Really good to talk with you. And a reminder, you can subscribe to the Berkshire Eagle podcast through Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app, so you can get these discussions sent directly to your smartphone. The Berkshire Eagle podcast is brought to you by the Berkshire Eagle. Think global, read local, get that paper delivered to your door every day. Great things happening here at the Berkshire Eagle. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Mills. Have a great day.